Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteeFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to Monica Abbott. Go to MonicaAbbott.com, and you can check out the information to sign up for the golf tournament. And see the silent auction items that are coming up. That's at Lakewood Country Club, Lakewood Oaks in Lee Summit. So you can go and check that out. My old stomping grounds. I didn't live there. I just stomped around Lakewood. So
boots? Big boots or something? Or?
Yeah, I was just stomping. My boots were made for walking and stomping at times. I don't know. Not sure, but they the golf tournament, MonicaAbbott.com, you can go check that out and see how you can sign up and participate there. We are hanging out today at Casey Cannabis, our location in Blue Springs, just off I-70, 7 Highway, and they've got four locations. The location we are at today is the one with the drive-thru. That's pretty sweet. Lake Lotawanna, Kearney, Excelsior Springs, and also they got a fifth location coming up in the Northland near Zona Rosa, right next to the Innitub off I-29 and Berry Road right there is where the next location will be. We're hanging out here. They got buy one, get one, 40% off on all edibles going on at all four locations. But today we're at this location where you can come in and register to win a Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey. Those KC Connect jerseys are freaking sweet, but you got to be in here today. We'll be giving that away just before 2 o'clock, so when the show is over, we'll be doing the drawing. So you have to be here at some point to register. You don't have to be present to win, but you got to be present at some point today while we're on the air to win that one. So that's location today, KC Cannabis. They've got specials going on tomorrow, happy hour all day. They got the Saturday 420 celebration going on, food trucks, vendors, giveaways, all of that stuff. It'll be at all four locations, the Blue Springs location. You get some other cool goodies as well. 913-912-4810. Let's bring in Matt Lane, KC Sports Network, KCSN.substack.com, the KC Laboratory podcast. We're hoping the Chiefs will get some goodies next week in the NFL draft. Matt, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. We're a week away from the NFL draft. This is one of my favorite times of the year, so it's hard to say I'm doing anything but fantastic right now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I wish it was happening tonight, you know, and next week I'll be glad that it's happening that night. But, you know, I just wanted to be here already, just studying mock drafts, doing the mock draft simulator, reading all of the things. Like, I'm just ready to know who the Chiefs have drafted. What do you do as your guys' draft guide is already out? You know, we know the different Nats guys that are out there that we've talked about before. What do you do in this last week? Or, I mean, because you are as studied up as anybody. Are you just sort of looking at other guys? Are you going through more mock draft simulators? Like, how do you spend this last week trying to get through the days so we can just simply get to draft night next week?
Yeah, typically this final week is, I wouldn't say hectic. It's pretty easy, like, in terms of, like, having draft coverage or, like, your mm-hmm. knowledge base kind of covered and stuff like that. But since we, for KCSN, are going to be doing kind of like our live show during the entire draft, yeah, we do spend this last week trying to get our eyes on absolutely as many players as we can, so that way there's as few surprises, at least in the first 2 days of the draft, in terms of guys we don't have much to say about, to get that done. So, like, it's just kind of watching some guys we haven't got to watch yet. For the draft guide, we have multiple people that work on it, which has been fantastic. It allows us to get, I think, a little bit deeper into each player, but that also means that maybe I haven't watched every single player as of this moment. So I use this last couple, you know, 2 weeks after the draft guide releases, heading up to the draft, to make sure I go back through and watch everybody that is at least in the top 100, top 150, and try to see how far I can push that out until I know a little bit of everything. So I feel like I'm in a good spot this year. I got a couple more guys that I'm going to run through this final week. But besides that, it's mostly trying to protect my voice and save my voice for like 18 hours of talking coming up next week.
No, I get it. Understandable, man. You guys have great coverage with the NFL draft. Let's talk a little bit about some of these players. And you've written there at KC Sports Network, the kcsn.substack.com. You've written there about some of the sleepers, and you identified them in certain ways in connections with the Chiefs. What about these three guys do you think could be connected to the Chiefs in some way, or could be names that maybe we should be looking out for a week from Saturday?
Yeah, so yeah, right now on our Substack, kcsn.substack.com, I wrote an article that went up today just about three K3 sleepers that I like a little bit more than I think consensus right now, but then also I think there is a non-direct on-field connection that I can make with the Chiefs in terms of how the Chiefs have operated in the past or things they like to do. And so the first one is an offensive lineman out of TCU named Brandon Coleman. He has played guard. He has played tackle. He's got the requisite size at 6'4.5", over 300 pounds, nearly 35-inch arms. He kind of checks all the boxes for a player that the Chiefs like to play at tackle, but if it doesn't work there, he can kick inside the guard, and almost every single guard that the Chiefs have ever drafted or ever really invested in has played tackle at some point in time. So on the field, he fits it, but then more so, and this is where I wanted to go the extra layer with all these guys, Coleman's working out with the OL Masterminds group and Duke Mannyweather down in Frisco, Texas. And essentially every offensive lineman that Chiefs have drafted with Brett Veach at the helm the past, three, four seasons now, has been guys that have worked down there. So there's just a connection, a familiarity with that training program, with what those guys are coming out. So he was one guy started off with. Elijah Jones is a cornerback out of Boston College. Over 6 feet tall, over 31-inch arms, but he tested like a Tier 1 CBAT. And for those that don't have the KCSN draft guide, Craig Stout has come up with an athletic measuring formula that it's not predictive of what the Chiefs will do necessarily, but it's predictive of kind of how cornerbacks are going to perform in the NFL. If you are a Tier 1 CBAT player, you are more likely to excel in the NFL or earn a starting role regardless of your draft position. The Chiefs have also kind of geared their drafting towards those guys. Legarius Sneed, Nazi Johnson, both other guys that tested similarly to him. You also have Jalen Watson was very close to being a Tier 1. Joshua Williams, Trent McDuffie, Tier 2, which is the second best category. So they like these types of athletic corners. You want to find a guy like this on day three that fits that mold. And then finally, I went with Eric Aull, a tight end out of Iowa via Michigan. There's some injury concerns, but I think the big thing with him is the Chiefs were his only formal interview at the NFL scouting combine. Wow. And for a guy that has some medical issues, that kind of took me by surprise that more teams weren't trying to have a sit-down formal interview with him, but he had said they were his only formal interview, so I kind of just drew that one. That one's the least deep connection, but I still thought it was interesting given all the smoke around the Chiefs trying to add a new tight end.
Is it specific to position that you look at, though, and say, okay, these are the positions that maybe in the third day the Chiefs are going to be looking at? It's like we've all sort of identified tackle and wide receiver as major needs for this team that, you know, first round, second round, third round, that Thursday, Friday night that they might address. But on into day three, it's like running back, interior offensive line, interior defensive line, could go cornerback. They could double up on wide receiver. I don't know if I mentioned running back or not, but if I didn't, I'll do it again. Tight end. Like, they can go a number of different directions in that third day on Saturday. So is it an element of you seek out the sleepers based on the positional group, or the sleepers sort of start to pop off the page for you in different things, and it's, regardless, and the position group is immaterial to you because it's sort of the traits and things that are that you see that sort of start to separate in your mind different players that might succeed where others are missing?
I generally start with kind of my evaluation of the players, and so I get my grade on them. I kind of settle it in to where I get finalized with it, and then maybe I start to poke around and see where other people have them. And if I start to see I'm a little bit higher on a player than, you know, somebody else is, okay, maybe that's noted in the back of my head as this is potentially a guy that, you know, I can call a sleeper. And as I'm going through it, I'm writing down notes. Does this guy play like a Chief? Is he kind of a high fit in terms of how he plays for a Chief? If he's a cornerback, is he long? Is he physical? Does he tackle? If all those things are yes, that makes a lot of sense for what the Chiefs like at the cornerback position. So now we have a player that I like more than the consensus, and then he plays the position of cornerback or whatever position it is the way the Chiefs like it. Now we're starting to get a little bit of a high team fit. have a player that fits the position or fits the way the Chiefs like to play. And then we finally like round it out with, is this a position of need? And if so, is it one that the Chiefs are going to likely take early, like wide receiver? Or is it one that they probably can wait and see what happens a little bit later? And that's how we get to, you know, a utility offensive lineman, a corner, a tight end, positions that I don't think they necessarily have to go out there and take a swing on at the beginning of the draft, but rather they can wait a little bit. But it really starts with the evaluation, and then do they play the game the same way the Chiefs do? And then what other connections can I make to Chiefs, you know, previous draft picks?
You know, one of the things that I've talked about with the Chiefs and the draft in general, we discussed it a little bit yesterday, but I feel like, you know, when we talk about drafting and how good a team is at drafting, a lot of times we may just point to the GM and say, well, this GM just gets it, right? I mean, just so good at the draft and working the draft board and things like that and grabbing players. And you can look back and go, boy, they found this guy in the second day. They found this guy in the third round. They trade L'Jarius Sneed for some picks, and that was a fourth-round draft pick that they got. You know, you mentioned Jalen Watson and, you know, Joshua Williams and guys they get later on, and they're finding these different players that are outside of the first round. And so, you know, on one hand, you can say, like, well, Brett Veach really gets it or understands it, and there's certainly kudos that go along with that. But I also wonder how much, in your mind, Matt, is there sort of an ingrained advantage because of where the Chiefs are as an organization? And it's a credit, by the way, to Brett Veach and Andy Reid, et cetera, and the coaches they have acquired and they have assembled. Because a lot of times, you know, if you are a fractured organization and you're at the end of sort of figuring out what are we going to do, I think, you know, and I've never been in a war room, Matt, but I do wonder how much, you know, I've mentioned that, you know, you've got these four different things. You've got a general manager that wants job security long term. You've got a coach that wants to win now because he doesn't have the long term job security. You got the positional coach that wants his guy because that can help him advance his career so he can get either a coordinator job or maybe a head coach. And then you got the scout that's identified this player and is scouting him and is presenting the reasons why you should take him because I got to prove my worth. And if you are an organization that is splintered on guys that have some, not necessarily ulterior or nefarious, but sort of some personal reasons as to why they would want this particular player, I wonder how good those drafts end up being as opposed to Brett Veach is secure, Andy Reid is secure, Andy Heck ain't going anywhere. Joe Cullen was talked about with the Michigan job, but defensive line, he's good. Spags, you know, if he has a bad year or two, it's not going to be like nobody thinks he's a good coordinator, so he doesn't need that one guy and demand him. Dave Merritt, you know, he'll be a coordinator one day, so he doesn't have to get a certain cornerback to show his worth. Like, I wonder how much there's already, Matt, an ingrained sort of an advantage for the Chiefs in going into the draft, or is that just Chiefs colored sunglasses in how I present it?
I think that GMs, coaching staff, front offices that all have like a level of comfort with their where they stand within the team with terms of the owner and everything around me, I definitely think that helps going into a draft because you are more willing to take a swing on a guy that maybe is a little bit more, you know, bigger bust potential but has a higher ceiling. Or you feel comfortable maybe hitting a couple singles and just getting guys that can go out there and play, and, you know, you're not going to get in trouble a year or two from now for not landing stars or building blocks for your team because you got guys that can go out there and just perform. And it's just, it's up to the GM, it's up to the team, the people making the decision which route they want to go. But if you have that kind of comfort and knowing that your job is not on the line, I think it allows you to go about it a little bit more loose, be a little bit, I don't want to say, definitely not reckless, but it's still calculated, but you don't have to have the fear that if this goes poorly, you're going to get fired. You don't have to have a fear that if you don't make the best pick, something bad might happen. It allows you just to kind of shoot off from the hip, going relying entirely on your board and not what other people are thinking. And then I think another big part of the draft, I can't remember where I heard this, but I heard it years ago. The top, you know, 100 players drafted, 150 players drafted some years, they're all talented enough to be NFL players. Like, the NFL's good enough at finding athletes and guys with enough raw talent to play that all these guys are talented enough to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's a matter about getting them to the right place that has the right coaching staff to not only teach them how to play, but also focus them mentally and build them their character and off-field personalities. There's really no wrong in terms of talent picks that can happen in the first 100, 150 picks. It's all about team fit. So when we talk about teams that are good at drafting, I don't know if it's necessary they're better at just evaluating talent, but I think there's a trust. There's a connection between the front office and the coaching staff to where they work together. They find the guys that are going to fit in their building the way that they want their team to run, and they make it work. It's that kind of cohesion from coaching staff, and that's position coaches, head coach, coordinators, up to the front office, up to the people that are playing with the cap, that are controlling the money flow, up to the owner who's signing off on everything. When everything works in unison, you find guys that fit better. And so now, even though we're both two teams are taking the same level of talented player, you're getting a team that is better, getting a better fit for their organization. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest difference when you talk about good or bad drafting teams.
Yeah, and draft for traits and develop them. And the Chiefs do a really good job of that. Visiting with Matt Lane, KC Sports Network, kcsn.substack.com. What do you make of, and do you draw any greater sort of themes from the Chiefs' top 30 visits when they have players in? In your mind, is this medical? Is it character evaluation? Is it getting to know a player if they are not drafted and now you're in the undrafted free agent, priority free agent chase to try to get a player to sign with you over another team, but you've got that relationship there? How do you view the top 30 visits that the Chiefs specifically have? And does it tell you anything about a preview of what they may be doing come draft day?
So I think top 30 visits can be used for anything. It can be to get a second look on a guy that, you know, maybe you met with informally or formally at the combine, or you liked him and you just want to bring him in to get him talk to more coaches, to let him meet everybody in the building, see if everybody's ready to sign off on him, see what you think the fit is. Maybe you really liked him the first time you talked to him, whether it was at a senior, at an all-star game or at the combine. You quizzed him on some whiteboard stuff, and now you want him to come back in and see what he retained, you know, over all this time. It could be something as simple as that, which is kind of football-related. It could be entirely a medical check, right? You could have them coming in just to see where they're at with their medicals, whether there's an injury or not. It could be character, just to flush out, hey, we found out that back in high school, X, Y, and Z happened. What about that? What do you think about it? Or I saw that the Chargers brought in two former Michigan players on the same day. I don't think Jim Harbaugh probably needs to have a whole lot of meetings, top 30 visits with his guys that he just coached last year over the past four seasons. Maybe you just want to bring a guy out to hang out for a little bit because it's paid for.
Yeah, that was just to go get beers with him.
Right. These meetings could be for absolutely anything. So I don't think you look too much into it. But that said, I'm not going to look too much into it and look at the Chiefs' top 30 visits. There's not a lot of guys that they brought in the top 30s that are kind of projected to be round one picks or even like early round two picks. Mm-hmm. You look in years past, the Chiefs kind of have done their work on guys that they might think are falling to them, and they want to get that medical check or that character concern. They want to get in and get to know them. They didn't really do that this year. There's Kingsley Sumatea, is an offensive tackle out of BYU. He's probably the highest rated guy on like consensus boards that they brought in, but he's not a first round lock. After that, it's Marshawn Nealand, an edge player out of Western Michigan. But that's it. Like, that's kind of the only two guys that you're thinking are going to be top 50 picks that they've even looked at with these top 30 visits. That's a little abnormal for them. So it just makes you wonder, do they either, A, feel really good about who they're taking, or are they trying to keep their cards close to the vest because they are just trying to trade up, trade back? What's the movement going to be? Because in years past, they've had a wider net of players projected to go around their pick in the first round that they've looked at. This year, it's been it's almost nobody in the first round, which is a little odd.
So many of those top 30 visits are projected to be day three guys. And so I'm with you. And I wonder too, like looking at the number of players at specific positions, because they've now brought in three different running backs. So you've got Jonathan Brooks, that's projected to be a day two guy, one of the top running backs in the entire draft. You know, they're visiting with him. Rasheen Ali, they brought in from Marshall. He's going to be a day three draft, and Carson Steele may not get drafted at all. So there are three different levels of, you know, a running back that they bring in. Now, how much is medical? How much is character? How much is all of those things? Or how much is it, hey, we might be drafting in the second round, and if this guy's here, you know, we might be looking running back in the second round at pick number 64, or if we trade back or whatever it might be. Okay, if we haven't got a running back yet and we're sitting there in the fifth or sixth round and Ali's still on the board, well, this is the guy we know. Hey, we didn't draft a running back at all, and we got to fill that spot. Okay, Carson Steele, we brought him in from UCLA. What did we like about him or not like about him? Maybe it was a deciding factor between a couple three guys that you're looking at, and you feel good about the other two, but you're just unknown about this guy. You bring him in, okay, we know more, and we're not going to bring him in. I always wonder, like, how much the specific positional group, because tackle and running back now are the three most the largest amount of players that they have brought in for top 30 visits.
Yeah, and so with the running backs, the thing that I took away from that is Brooks and Ali seem like they're probably, if I were to guess, medical things. You know, Brooks is coming off torn ACL. Yeah. He's yet, you know, we haven't heard anything poor about the medical check at the combine. He's actually been climbing up people's like rankings and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if he got, you know, passed well, but the Chiefs still want to bring him in, get their eyes on him too. And then Rasheen Ali tore his bicep at the Senior Bowl. So it's another guy that you assume got a pass at the combine, but maybe they just want to get some more eyes on them. So like maybe for the running back position, they just want to make sure these two guys that they maybe like, maybe don't, but if they're there at the right at the right rounds where they think the value is good, they want to make sure they have, you know, them passed on their medicals for sure. And then Carson Steele's a little bit more flirting with undrafted free agency. So I think you had mentioned it earlier. That could be a little bit of recruiting. Like, hey, if you don't get drafted, you come here, check out our facility, see what we can do for you. Now we can start that sales pitch early. So when we get on the phone to start round six or round seven, whenever we start making these calls, you have this connection with us. Like that's what I see with the running back. It doesn't mean they won't take one of those guys or they won't take somebody else early. But like, I do think two of the three being injury guys kind of stood out to me, and the other one being a little bit more of a UDFA person. The tackle one is one I find interesting. They have met with guys like Patrick Paul or Talese Fuaga at the combine. Those are, you know, top 75 picks. Fuaga is probably going to go before they pick in the first round. But they've looked at some tackles that are going to go early. But then you look at their top 30 visits, it's all kind of developmental guys, guys from smaller schools that you probably want to put through your own personal workouts, guys that weren't at the combine that you want to see move and go through Andy Heck's workout drills and stuff like that. So that's just a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of investment, but they've had a lot of day three developmental tackles come through on these top 30 visits versus only a couple guys. Only one guy has come to the facility that's kind of projected to be drafted early on, and that's Sumatea. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting mix of guys that they've brought in this year.
Visiting with Matt Lane, KC Sports Network, kcsn.substack.com. Matt, don't judge me on this. I would appreciate if you don't, but is it weird that I've watched maybe like 15 minutes in a row just the Hollywood Brown sort of different angled seam route that they put out there, like just watched it over and over again for 15 minutes? Is that weird of me to do, or is that just natural? You know, again, don't judge me on that.
I don't think it's weird at all. I think it's natural at this point right now. I'm with you. They do all these clips that are making out. It's like really, it's nice to watch everybody do it. And like Rashee Rice got back down there with them, and he posted a couple videos working down there with Pat and all these other receivers in Texas, and it looks good. But when you watch Hollywood Brown run it, especially when it's not the edited up ones that he posts on Instagram, which, you know, hey, they look cool, but like the ones that somebody else posts out that records of him, you can tell he's moving at a different speed. He's one of those guys that's just moving at a different speed than everyone else. And like Mecole Hardman's always been fast. Kadarius Toney, when he starts stops, it pops to you. But like his overall speed, I don't think ever jumps off the screen when he's down there running these routes. Mecole Hardman, super fast player, but I don't think his speed ever doesn't really pop the last few years since he suffered a couple injuries. I'm watching Hollywood Brown. It's shorts and t-shirt. It doesn't matter, but I'm watching him run through some of these routes, and it looks different than the other guys that are down there, and that's nice to see. That's kind of an element that I think we've all thought the Chiefs have been missing since Tyreek Hill left, so it's nice to see that kind of speed element and dynamic ability maybe be coming back to the offense.
Yeah, it's I know it, like you said, shorts and a hoodie or a t-shirt or whatever, but watching the pace and speed while going through the route and the slight little angles that you're taking to, you know, press the linebacker, press the safety before you're cutting, and there's no break in speed or pace on that at all. And then he caught the ball at the end. That was pretty
important.
It's pretty neat that the ball went right into his hands and he caught it.
Thing. The team that won the Super Bowl last year didn't do that well, so I don't know if that actually matters anymore.
You know what? Copycat league. You should have more receivers that drop the football. That's how the Chiefs did that. It's just smart. That's what it is. Matt Lane is our guest. All right, Matt, before we let you go, if you are predicting now, it's a week away, what position do the Chiefs select on Thursday night?
Ooh. Man, this is so hard for me right now. I don't think the draft board is going to fall great for them to go with like wide receiver, offensive tackle. And I think those are the two positions that the majority of Chiefs fans really want them to get. But I think if we're talking just pure value, I think they might be better waiting on those a little bit later. So that way they're not kind of taking the top of the next year down kind of situation. So I'm not sure where they go right now. I'm very up in the air. If I were to guess right now, I am going to go with, I'm going to go with corner for now, but I reserve the right to change that. It's a little far out right now. I just think there might be a corner that falls down a little bit, and this might be a Trent McDuffie situation where they go, I don't think this guy was ever supposed to be here, but now he's here at pick 32. We kind of have to pull the trigger, and I think we can figure out the offensive side of the ball a little bit later.
As long as they just trade ahead of the Bills and take the person the Bills wanted, I'm good with that. You know, I'm just whoever they end up getting. Matt Lane, KC Sports Network, the KC Laboratory Podcast, kcsn.substack.com. Go and check out the article that he has that he put out this morning with the sleepers and the connections that are there, some guys that you may need to know for next Saturday in that day three to get to know his, you know, rookie minicamp will be taking place on May 4th and, you know, that weekend right after the draft is over. Matt, you're the man. Really appreciate the time, sir. Enjoy the draft and certainly love all the coverage and everything else. So thank you for the time today, man.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me on. Go Chiefs. You got one more week until we're ready to go.
Yes, sir. Next week, you know, we'll be discussing a lot of the Dylan, he didn't want to talk to you. So sorry about that. I know that you were excited to have a longer conversation with Matt. I took all his time, Dylan. I apologize. I was supposed to go till 11:20 with Matt, and then Dylan and Matt would discuss for 7 minutes.
He wanted to clear the lines for Sports at Leisure. He wanted to make sure that they were ready to go. Already.
Man,
he's excited.
That's so smart.
He's
generous
the,
man.
He's very excited.
He's a man of the people is what he is, you know?
I kind of like the quarterback or the cornerback thought process because I've had a similar one as well.
Oh, that's why you like it? I like it because this guy seems really smart.
No, but I've been thinking the same thing is, and maybe not even in the first, maybe it's in the second as well, but I do think a first or second round corner is going to surprise a lot of people, and I don't think it should. With the loss of L'Jarius Sneed, where do the Chiefs view Trent McDuffie? Is he he's a first-team All-Pro slot corner.
Right.
But he's a little smaller. Is he an outside corner? I love Josh Williams probably more than the next guy, but do you trust him every single down being out there? I like Jalen Watson, but he did have a little bit of a down year last year. And again, I think the Chiefs are still solid overall in the secondary. I'm not necessarily worried, but an injection of talent, especially if it's a first-round corner who falls. Now, I'm not trying to be a homer here, so I apologize for K-State and KU fans here, but if Ennis Rakestraw, who I think a lot of people have going in the top 20, if you were there at 32, would you be surprised if the Chiefs were to take him?
No, I wouldn't, and I think what Matt's, his logic is sound in that if the board does not fall in the favor of the Chiefs to where tackles and wide receivers, and now you feel like, dude, we're forcing it. You know, we're reaching at this point to take one of these guys, and we're just not going to do that. We spent all this time coming up with our draft board. We spent all this time assessing these prospects. And now, are we going to take somebody that's, you know, number 45 on our board at number 32 because we need a wide receiver? Well, guess what? We've been watching, you know, on a loop that clip from Mahomes to Hollywood Brown. You know, we went and got a wide receiver, right? I mean, Rashee Rice is, you know, going to face some sort of a legal ramification and professional ramification from the, you know, expected suspension from the NFL. So, you know, you got to deal with that. But there's a reason why you go and get some wide receivers. And guess what? They can go and get another veteran, you know, after the draft is over. So, and Donovan Smith is out there, so they can go and grab him. If you didn't hear, J.K. Dobbins signed with the Chargers yesterday, so the whole running back, and maybe they bring in Dobbins, that's not happening. But they are talking to running backs in top 30 visits, and I think a running back, Adam Teicher, said on Tuesday, he said, I'd be shocked if they didn't take a running back at some point in this draft. He absolutely believes there will be a running back selected with one of these picks, but if the first round is not falling the way that you would hope with tackle and wide receiver and things like that, and there's not somebody there that you feel like is worthy of the number 32 pick, you don't just reach because, hey, you really need that guy. And if cornerback's sitting there, I mean, we didn't think they were going cornerback in the first round.
No.
We thought they were trading up for a defensive end. Like, oh, my
yes.
God, they're trading up for. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even remember the dude from Florida State's name that everybody thought they were trading up to get. That's how that.
Great
that,
point.
That's how, like, in the moment everybody was. And it was like, and the Chiefs select Trent McDuffie, cornerback, Washington. Huh? Who? We didn't even talk about that guy. All right, let me go to my who's Trent McDuffie? I got to talk intelligently about him tomorrow. Let me tell you what everybody else thinks about Trent McDuffie. Let me tell you what Nate Tice thinks. Let me go to my KC Sports Network draft guide and tell you about Trent McDuffie. They've done all the work and the research on it, and that's because it fell in a way that they didn't expect.
Sure.
So the logic is sound that, hey, they're going to take a tackle, they're going to take a wide receiver. I do believe if the board falls in the way that they would like it to fall, and one of those positions is available, all things being equal, six in one hand, half dozen in the other, then, yeah, wide receiver or tackle would be the route to go. But if those guys are gone, and it's like, yeah, we're not taking the number 45 prospect at number 32, and we can't trade back, well, then we'll take somebody that we feel is the best. Okay, that's a cornerback here.
That's always the caveat. We cannot trade back.
Yeah, right.
I know. I think the majority of the fans, myself, I think the majority of people want the Chiefs to, but it's just not as simple.
Well, I'm a trade back guy.
Was it Peter Schrager who had the Chiefs taking Jalen Polk at 32?
Yeah.
Now, Peter Schrager's a very smart guy. He's nailed his Super Bowl predictions. He's been fairly good overall as far as draft predictions as well. But that, to me, would be beyond a reach. If you're taking Jalen Polk at 32, I'm sitting here going, why not wait for a wide receiver later on, second rounder, and get the best available in the first?
Yeah.
I don't think you can really go wrong with best available.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We are hanging out at KC Cannabis today, one of the four locations that they have. We're located in Blue Springs today. I've got the drive-thru here at Blue Springs, but it's off I-70, 7 Highway. Can't miss it. KC Cannabis, and today they've got buy one, get one, 40% off on all edibles. That's going on at all four locations, not just the one that we are at today. They've got specials tomorrow, happy hour all day. They got the celebration coming up on Saturday, food trucks, vendors, giveaways, all locations. Today, though, at this location in Blue Springs, we are giving away a Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey. So you come in, somebody over the next, 2.5 hours, is going to win this Bobby Witt jersey. You got to be here and fill out the registration form, all of that stuff, and we'll draw before the show is over. If your name is drawn and Sterling likes you, then we will call you and tell you you won. If your name
caveat.
Is drawn and Sterling doesn't like you, we will draw again. So if you didn't win, one of two things happened. Your name wasn't drawn, or you've got a bone to pick with Sterling. Just saying.
It's true.
That's a fact.
It's a fact, not fiction. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's how we do it around here. We just draw randomly until we get somebody we like. Dylan Michaels.
Huh.
Dylan Michaels won the KC Connect jersey. How about
fiction.
That?
Fiction. That's fiction,
it
Jason.
It would absolutely be fiction. Everett Anderson won the KC Connect jersey. What are the odds, man? He can't even wear it. I guess his dad will wear it until he's big enough to wear it.
I want to keep my job, so that's a fact. That's a fact.
We will we'll take a timeout. We're hanging out here at KC Cannabis, Blue Springs location, locally owned, locally operated, all people from Kansas City that run these KC Cannabis stores, all four of the locations, and a fifth one coming up north this summer near Zona Rosa, right next to Innitub, which now I want some Innitub. So, you know, there's that. We'll take a timeout, come back, more Zone next.
I am a winner!
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're hanging out at KC Cannabis Blue Springs location. They got the drive-thru just off I-70, 7 Highway, our location. They have four locations in the area, also one in Lake Lotawanna, Kearney, and Excelsior Springs. They've got a fifth one coming up north, and it is all locally owned, locally operated, people from Kansas City rooted in the community. It is Kansas City Cannabis, and buy one, get one, 40% off on all edibles today. Not just this location, but all four of the locations. They've got that going on tomorrow. Happy hour all day. Double loyalty points all day long as well. And Saturday, they've got the buy one, get one, 40% off within the categories of flower and edibles and concentrates. All four locations. They've got food trucks, vendors, giveaways. All four locations yet again. And the first 100 customers at Blue Springs location where we are today get a KC Cannabis stash bag and a KC Cannabis t-shirt. That is, again, the Blue Springs specific location where we are today. That also is the location with the drive-thru. You can order ahead and don't even have to get out of your car and stop by. And if you've never been to a dispensary before, you come in and they will help you out with all the different questions you may have and things like that. It is KC Cannabis where we are located today. 913-912-4810. We'll talk with Matt Verderam coming up in the noon hour. We got Sports or Leisure at 1 o'clock.
I will say this is actually very cool. For a guy whose only dispensary visit was one in Colorado a long time ago, we've come a long way from trying to have your buddy, hey, how much is that, 20? Like, but seriously, like, they have,
you're
like,
holding?
They actually have, like, uplifting ones. They have calm and relaxed. Like, what do you want to do? They have all these different styles, flavors. I love they kept the names of when you were, like, growing up, too. Just all the names. Caps, Frozen Lemons, Cheetah's Kiss, Bozo Shoes. I love these. Banana Conda.
I wonder what the Hibernate does. Does that give you a pep in your step? Like, yeah, let's go, so Hibernate.
It's called Def. You know, the whole Cat Williams bit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just perplexed, man. I mean, I am like a squirrel a little bit where I see all these lights and things. I'm like, this is sweet, though.
Yeah.
This is cool.
It's KC Cannabis, our location today in Blue Springs. You don't even have to come in the store. They got the drive-through as well. But if you want to win the Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey that we are giving away, you do have to come in the store and get you registered, and we will be giving that away before 2 o'clock. So at the end of the show, we'll do the drawing, and somebody will win today. Somebody that stops into KC Cannabis Blue Springs location today while we are on the air will win this jersey. You can also have some cool goodies and giveaways, the Sports Radio 810 koozies, and this little thing that is like a Frisbee or something else. I don't know what it is, like a placemat. I don't think anybody actually knows what that is that we have.
Try throwing it. Let me see.
But it is sort of like a Frisbee.
Not
there.
Really very
it,
well,
it folds up and goes into that little pouch right there. But, I don't know what it is used for, but we've got it. That's what I'm saying.
The pouch destroys the aerodynamic ability of it, though. When you try to throw in it, it's like a weighted Frisbee, which...
Right there, right in that little pouch. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810. We will talk with Matt Verderam coming up at noon. Text comes in. Jermaine Johnson, that's what it was. Thank you. Jermaine Johnson was the guy that people thought the Chiefs were trading up to get. He's been, you know, he's been a good player. I like McDuffie, you know, and who knows how the AFC would be different if the Chiefs traded up for Jermaine Johnson and then the Bills got Trent McDuffie. I mean, the Chiefs ain't trading L'Jarius Sneed right now, probably not, right? I mean, if your starting cornerbacks are Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, or we'd be talking about who are the specific corners in this draft that they've got to go and get because they traded Charvarius Ward, but they had L'Jarius Sneed ready to step in. They traded L'Jarius Sneed because they've got Trent McDuffie ready to step in. But that's just part of the whole draft process. Like, you don't know really until that name is called. Because, again, going back to 2017, thank God that when they traded up, somebody was like, they're going to get Deshaun Watson. They're going to get Deshaun Watson in 2017. Oh, thank goodness they didn't go up to get Deshaun Watson. They went and got Patrick Mahomes.
I was there, by the way. I lived in Philly at the time. I was at the draft, so I was there.
Were you wearing a Clemson Deshaun Watson jersey?
I was not, but I was wearing sandals. The reason why I remember I was wearing sandals was the Chiefs were drafting later on in the draft. I did not know they were going to trade up. This was right by my house. I could walk to it, right? Like, I walked my brownstone there, and I was like, okay, it's close. I'll go. I'm walking there. I'm there for a while, okay? I'm heading back. I'm leaving around pick 10, right? All of a sudden, I hear Chiefs trade up. I'm nearly back to my house, but I could still hear everything happening, so I'm sprinting back in sandals, no regard for my feet. There could have been glass. Didn't matter. It's Philly. There probably was glass. And all of a sudden, I go, they're drafting a quarterback. It's Deshaun. And then it was Mahomes.
Did you want Deshaun?
At the time, I did. Okay. Full transparency, at the time, I did. And they drafted Mahomes, and I did not care at all about Deshaun Watson, because I go, the Chiefs finally drafted a first-round quarterback. I don't care who it was. I'm going to be excited. It was such a great night.
I was grateful for Twitter that night because even if I'm wrong about everything else, which, you know, may be the case. Who knows? But luckily, I had a buddy at the time that when the Chiefs traded up, sent me a tweet and said, Deshaun Watson, and I replied with Mahomes and the praying emoji. So even if I'm wrong about everything else from now on, thankfully for Twitter, because you could say, well, I wanted Mahomes. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. But do you have, like, documentation
check
of that?
Check the receipts, guy.
Right, check the receipts. But, hey, thank goodness that buddy tweeted me. It's like, hey, do you want Deshaun Watson? No, I want Mahomes. I want Patrick Mahomes. And it was interesting. Pat Forty, who covers college football, we would have him on weekly to talk, oddly enough, college football. And he's a big Denver Broncos fan. And Patrick Mahomes was a sophomore at Texas Tech. And I asked him, and I brought this up to him after the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, because, again, being a Broncos fan, and maybe right after Mahomes threw that left-handed pass in the second year back in, you know, 2018 when that happened in Monday night. But I asked him, I said, out of all the quarterbacks that are in the draft and in college, who are you starting your team with? And he goes, I'm starting with the Texas Tech quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. This guy is different. He's special. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. He's not draft eligible yet, but you'll know him in a couple of years. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I started paying more attention to Patrick Mahomes because of Pat Forty. And now a Broncos fan has to watch this guy twice a year in his division beat up on his Broncos as the guy that he would start his team with. And by the way, that was the year that the Broncos traded up to get Paxton Lynch.
Ooh,
because
yeah,
that was Mahomes' sophomore year.
Well, he was tall.
Yeah,
and
they
John got, Elway saw tall.
But thankfully, they traded ahead of the Chiefs to get Paxton Lynch. I mean, we're talking about Jermaine Johnson and Trent McDuffie. Like, how different life would be if the Chiefs were able to take Paxton Lynch in 2016 instead of the Broncos trading up and getting him.
I think the Chiefs would have still drafted Mahomes.
I don't know. You draft back to back. You would have.
Yes, you saw Paxton Lynch 1 year and go, we're good. We know what we're fine.
Might have been, but
back
he would have played.
Market.
He would have played behind Alex Smith, and now it's Paxton Lynch time. The beginning of the 2017 season, and Patrick Mahomes would be. I don't know. He'd be in New Orleans. Or he'd be in Arizona, or he'd be in Houston. One of the teams that really wanted Patrick Mahomes that were drafting after the Bills that had coaches that knew quarterbacks that wanted Patrick Mahomes. But, yeah, Jermaine Johnson was the quarterback or was the defensive end that people thought they were trading up for. I thought they were trading up for him. I wanted Jermaine Johnson, and they traded up for. But I'm pretty freaking stoked that they ended up getting Trent McDuffie. I wanted Jermaine Johnson. I like George Karlaftis, too. But when they traded up, I'm like, all right. And then we'll see who they come back and get with that second pick, maybe a wide receiver or whatever, because, you know, they don't have Tyreek Hill. Another text came in, and we were talking about Ben Sinnott, said, would be great if the Chiefs draft Ben Sinnott, but the draft is unpredictable. Can't always get the player you want. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I just said Patrick Mahomes. No. And that's a tweet because earlier in the show I said that I have slowly evolved and grown into somebody that would really like to see Ben Sinnott drafted by the Chiefs. To now I feel like, especially with one more week to go, that I'm actually going to be disappointed if he's not drafted by the Chiefs. And that's a little bit of a difference. And you shouldn't be in a position to be disappointed if the Chiefs don't draft a specific player. It's not smart. But I'm, you know, never claimed to be somebody that approaches things from a logical standpoint. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next. All right, wrapping up this hour, we will talk with Matt Verderam. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs, the draft coming up a week from now, the oddity that the Commanders have done with their top 30 visits. I don't know if people saw this or not, but the Commanders have invited like 16 prospects to their facilities, and all four quarterbacks they're thinking of drafting, and they all went to like Topgolf last night. And just hung out. Like, that's their top 30 visits, or just like, hey, let's just go and kick it, guys, and see
Chuck
if one of you guys.
Cheese, baby.
Yeah,
who's
that's
more
right.
Competitive?
Fight to the death. If you were to take that golf club and break that quarterback's arm, you might be more likely to get drafted now.
Mm.
How smart are you? That's being a leader.
I'm going to DMB, Dave and Buster's.
There you go. That works too. So we'll talk with Matt Verderam about some of those things coming up on the other side of the break. More Zone from KC Cannabis Blue Springs location next.